From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Rasha McChesney with this local and statewide news update. The Alaska Senate has approved a roughly $1,100 dividend on the last day of the special session. This came after the House canceled its floor and left the Senate with what amounted to a take-it-or-leave-it decision on the check for residents that the House previously passed. The Senate Finance Committee on Tuesday sent the House version of the bill to the Senate floor, and it passed 12-7 after amendments proposed amendments to the bill in favor of a higher payout failed. The Juneau Assembly has committed $700,000 to convert a city warehouse into a ballot processing center. The facility will support a permanent move to holding local elections by mail. Juneau did that for the first time in 2020 because of pandemic concerns and will again for the election that begins this week and ends October 5th. For now, Juneau election officials are relying on Anchorage for a secure facility and equipment to count votes. The local League of Women Voters supports the change. Marjorie Menzie with the League told the Assembly on Monday that last year's by-mail election drew the highest voter turnout in 20 years.
The League believes that success is identified in a democracy by citizen participation. We considered voting by mail a success in Juneau. Voting by mail is a secure and fraud-free method of voting. Providing adequate funding for our most fundamental right seems a reasonable expenditure of public dollars.
City officials expect the facility to be ready for next year's local election. The U.S. Coast Guard reported encountering Chinese warships within 50 miles of the Aleutian Islands this past August during patrols in the Arctic and Bering Sea. According to a statement from the Coast Guard, two national security cutters and an icebreaker encountered a Chinese guided missile cruiser, guided missile destroyer, intelligence ship, and an auxiliary vessel over the last 4 days in August. Lieutenant Commander Scott McCann, a Coast Guard spokesperson in Juneau, says it has been several years since Chinese warships have been seen in the exclusive economic zone. The zone is used as U.S. fishing grounds.
The U.S. Coast Guard did not have advance notice the Chinese Navy would be operating in international waters, but requiring advance notice would be counter to international agreements and norms, and it would not be appropriate for the U.S. Coast Guard to speculate on the intended outcome of the Chinese Navy's operation.
The Chinese ships were not observed entering U.S. territorial waters or violating any laws, but at their closest point, they were about 46 miles off the coast of the Aleutian Islands. The tiny but mighty phytoplankton live at the base of the food chain in the Gulf of Alaska. They're a food source for small crustaceans, which in turn feed small fish, then bigger fish, then seabirds and marine mammals. Each spring and summer, a large concentration of phytoplankton blooms in the Gulf. This year, a University of Alaska Fairbanks professor says researchers saw the biggest bloom they've ever seen.
Which theoretically means that we should have a very productive year at a whole bunch of other steps in the food chain later in the year.
That's Russ Hopcroft. He says the phytoplankton bloom in itself is nothing out of the ordinary.
Part of the natural cycle in the Gulf of Alaska is that when the light starts coming back in the spring and the storms start to subside a little bit, we get a big explosion of life in the phytoplankton.
People on passing ships might not notice the large amount of phytoplankton, though there may be more activity from birds or fish in the area. But researchers keeping tabs on the blooms have noticed. They monitor the area each May, both with satellites and samples taken on a research vessel. This year, the bloom spanned from Kayak Island near Cordova over to Kodiak, dropping off where the Gulf Shelf plummets into deeper waters.
I think we just had the right combination of some prolonged light and just enough storminess to keep things mixing a little bit, but not so much that they diluted and spread everything out.
Climate may also play a role. The Gulf of Alaska saw a years-long heat wave nicknamed the Blob, which decimated some fish populations and changed the marine makeup of the Gulf.
There wasn't much of a bloom during the Blob.
But this year, the Gulf has seen more normal temperatures, and he says at times even trending slightly cold. Hopcroft says the hope is the energy from the phytoplankton make it up the food chain from the fish that swim in the Gulf's waters all the way up to the Alaskans who eat them. Alaska's redistricting board recently drew new political boundaries that place Southeast's four sitting House members within two districts. That's because the new maps put two lawmakers' homes in different districts than they're currently in one case by less than a few hundred yards. That means that, unless they want to move, Democratic and independent House members would have to run against each other. As Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, the Republican majority panel's plan is not final and will be coming under scrutiny this fall.
There was some relief when the draft redistricting maps were published last week because the size of Southeast's political delegation remained the same, 4 House members and 2 state senators for next year's election. U.S. Census data shows Southeast communities have either had very modest growth or lost population, while other parts of the state grew relatively quickly. The last go-around, Southeast lost a senator and a House member, which diminished its voice in the legislature. Representative Andy Story is a Democrat now in her second term, representing Juneau's Mendenhall Valley. But the new maps would put her 4-bedroom house in a neighboring district that's held by a party ally.
To me, it is really suspect. One half of the street on my side would be in the new downtown district, and the other half of the street would stay in the current district.
It's normal for political boundaries to be redrawn every 10 years to follow trends with population shifts. But Representative Sarah Hannon, also a Juneau Democrat, says the new lines on the map look deliberate.
It's a funny little carve-out because the neighborhood that her house is in has 2 sides of the street, and they took only 1 side of the street.
The draft maps also divide Ketchikan in a novel way. A zigzag line excludes Ketchikan independent Dan Ortez's 3-bedroom home on South Tongass Highway. That would land him in a sprawling 630-mile outer coastal district that would run from the Canadian border all the way up to Yakutat, in territory that's largely represented now by Sitka Democratic Representative Jonathan Kreis Tompkins. The Alaska Redistricting Board put out a statement saying there had been some errors in the Ketchikan Gateway Borough that would be addressed when it reconvenes later this week. Representative Dan Ortez says that gives him some hope.
It's my understanding that the Redistricting Board has called that an error and that they intend to correct that error at this upcoming meeting on Friday. That's my understanding.
Alaska's constitution says district boundaries should be compact territory that's an integrated socio-economic area. But Ortez says carving out the predominantly Alaska Native city of Saxman and the outskirts south of Ketchikan could lump these voters with a representative that might be hundreds of miles away.
It's very problematic. It puts Alaska in part of Saxman as a part of the West Coast district that goes all the way up to Yakutat, and, you know, that's just not in the best interests of the people who live on Revillagigedo Island, let's put it that way.
Veteran Republicans involved in the redistricting process say shifting demographics made the new districts inevitable. Former state Republican chairman Randy Riedrich fronts a group calling itself Alaskans for Fair and Equitable Redistricting.
There just wasn't enough population south of Juneau to build 2 districts under any shape. So we had to create the map that I was working on, we had to arrange to import the Yakutat population from the north.
He says there wasn't any deliberate effort to exclude incumbents, but Riedrich says it made sense to carve out the city of Saxman from the Ketchikan district and include it with other Alaska Native communities to the northwest.
I even thought about who lives where, but we did carve out, in our using that term, we did select Saxman to be in the coastal district since it has most of the other Alaska Native villages, and it has Sitka, which is the center of many other services. I thought it was justified to include it in the Maritime District.
These maps are only drafts, and the courts often get involved following legal challenges. But it's shaping up to be an opening of a high-stakes political exercise that will play out through the November 10th deadline to settle political boundaries. Representative Andy Story, the Juneau Democrat, says this process is too political. 3 of the 5 members on the redistricting board are registered Republicans.
My situation right now, trying to understand it, it's probably a good reason for why we should have a nonpartisan redistricting board.
If the current maps are allowed to stand, it would shake up the political landscape in Southeast by forcing political allies to either contest each other in the 2022 election or uproot themselves. Representative Sarah Hannon says that's a tall order for part-time legislators.
I am not a politically committed enough public servant to move to continue to represent a district.
Which cynics might say could be exactly the point. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
Alaska health officials say the Mu variant of the virus that causes COVID-19 does not appear to be spreading in the state. Mu has caught the attention of the world's virus trackers because its mutations might be able to evade immunity gained through vaccination and prior infection. But in Alaska and other states, Mu appears to be crowded out by the highly contagious Delta variant. In all, Alaska has recorded 147 cases of Mu. Nearly all of them were in May, June, and July. That's the latest from the KTOO newsroom. If you're looking for more news, visit us at kto.org. I'm Rasha McChesney.